Okay. Is everybody ready? Okay. Okay, let's get going. So Thursday, we have the midterm team presentations, and I hope everybody is practicing their presentations and getting them all squared away. If you have any questions about this, let me know. I'll be happy to help you out. So, as a review, the order of the presentations, there'll be 8 presentations, and I think I got everybody ordered now. 8 minutes for the students. It's important for them, everybody, to submit me their PowerPoint presentations by the end of the day tomorrow. That way I can load them all on my laptop and we can go straight through without having any laptop transfers or stuff like that. It'll work out pretty good. Everybody will have a chance to evaluate all the speakers, including the community members, so be prepared to do that. Bring a pen. Bring your best penmanship, too, because your comments go back to the student teams, and it's very helpful for them to get your comments and suggestions. Because of the limited time, I think maybe we'll have just maximum of 2 questions per presentation. It's sort of important to figure out where you're going to stand in relationship to the screen and where you stand when you're presenting and where you stand when you're not talking. I have a nice laser pointer which will help you out. That focuses the audience's attention. Other suggestions are to have a slide that sort of prepares the audience for what you're going to be presenting. Do the big stuff first and the details later. And maybe if you have a number of concepts like to present, because of the lack of time, maybe just talk about one of them and just show the others, and that will maximize the time. You're not going to be able to present everything you've done, so you need to think about that. And I'm not looking for completeness in 8 minutes. If you're unsure of what to present, this is some points you should think about having in your presentation, and maybe you only need to talk, one or 2 sentences about some of these things. It's important to identify who you are, including the name of your team. People who are doing the judging will look at 3 issues, process, presentation, and design. Their comments will respond to this, what were your likes and wishes about what they did. So there'll be space for you to do this and also to grade on those metrics. And beyond that, the midterm report is due next Tuesday, so that's a week from today. And just email it to me. It needs to be at least 5 pages. There's a whole web page on what I expect to have in there, so check that out. So I'm going to have a little talk about some old assistive technology, just to see how far we've come, and then we'll have our talk. So these are some slides that a friend of mine presented, and start off with a few old wheelchairs. And you notice that this wheelchair, it looks like the spokes and the wheel are all made out of wood. Isn't that curious? And it's a 3-wheel wheelchair, 2 big wheels in front, and there's a third wheel on a caster behind. And this one has the addition of a foot support to keep his leg horizontal. But it's all made out of wood. Here's some wheelchairs at the White House. And it looks like these have metal spokes, but still a lot of it is wood. And you can see this is the wheelchair back is made out of wicker. So here's another one made out of wood planks, and there's the third wheel in the back. And it looks like this might be a pneumatic wheel, so that's a change there. This one has an all-metal wheel. It looks like they took a a wheel from a wagon train, you know, and put it on a chair, on a rocking chair. But it has a crude third wheel in the back. So moving forward a little bit in time, this is a wheelchair that that was developed in this area, and it had the ability to climb upstairs backwards. It was sponsored by Foster's Beer. They put millions of dollars into this, and it had a set of tracks on each side. The tracks could lower, and so that facilitated it going up the stairs. And as you went up the stairs, the base of the chair pivoted so that you weren't leaning forward. You were always upright. So never made it to market, but there was a wonderful engineering design. They used all aircraft parts and everything, and it seemed to work pretty well, but never made it to market. This is a wheelchair I worked on when I was at the VA. And we used special wheels. We actually reinvented the wheel to make this wheelchair. And this has three wheels on it. This one is facing sort of out, and that other one is facing out like this. And the one in front is actually sort of perpendicular to the direction of travel. But these wheels are unique in that they have rollers on the outside. And if you go over to the Gates building, you'll see a robot there that has these wheels on it, and we actually supplied the wheels to that robot. So this wheelchair, by having three active wheels, you can control the direction of the wheelchair, including sideways. So it's had the unique capability of going sideways. This was the prototype for this wheelchair, which used a little bit different wheel design, and it had the third wheel in the back instead of in the front, and a nice Recaro racing seat, and a three-axis joystick, so you can go in any direction. And this came a little bit closer to market, but again, never made it to the market. It was really neat. So, you know, you get in it, and you can go sideways down the corridor. You can actually pirouette going down the corridor. It was really cool. Drew a lot of attention, but unfortunately it never made it onto the market. This is a very early FES walking. FES stands for functional electric stimulation. So if a person has paralysis, the muscles still work. You just need to activate them. So that's what all these wires are, to activate the muscles. Sometimes they used electrodes that are on the surface of the leg. Sometimes they used electrodes that penetrated the skin to activate the muscles. And if you can figure out how to choreograph the activation of muscles, you can do walking. So that's what's happening here in this early thing, but still don't have balance. So in all these cases that you'll see, you still need to have some forearm crutches in order to so you don't fall over. But you can walk. And you notice one thing here, notice how stout his leg is. You know, a lot of people who have had paralysis, sometimes there are muscles atrophy away, but with FES, one thing that it does do is keep the muscles active and the leg healthy. So here's another guy doing FES walking, and this is Dr. Marcellet with the VA. And I think I was actually in this room when they were doing these demonstrations. And I remember one guy was able to walk very fast along back and forth, and you know, almost at a run. So that was the best that had been done with FES walking.
How long ago was that?
That was probably mid to late 80s. There have been a lot of people. There had been a lot of people working on this, but now they're looking at more at you know, exoskeleton type things instead of FES. Although some people are still doing FES, especially for grasp and other things. I'll show you. This is an exoskeleton that's actually mounted to this guy's wheelchair. So in order for him to use the wheelchair, he has to be in order for him to use the exoskeleton, he has to be in the wheelchair. And you can see how elaborate this is. I think this was done at Johns Hopkins. There's been a lot of work with using FES to create a grasp. If you don't have grasp, you're not able to do a lot of things like Like you're not able to hold a beer can, which could be really important to some people. And more importantly, you're not able to hold utensils to feed yourself.
So,
or to apply makeup.
So, this woman apparently has some electrodes built into her arm and a wrist to make a grasp.
This work was done at Case Western. Case Western.
There's a couple feeding aids, so it's a little robot arm that's typically controlled by a joystick that the user touches with his face. And here there's a plate, and I think in this case the plate revolves and it
bunches up the food so that the spoon can get at it pretty easily. So
there's a little bit newer design, and I think a design like this is on the market. I believe this device here is the way it's controlled. And it's a spoon, so it uses a spoon to spoon food into the person.
This is an early environmental control system. So this system controlled the electrical appliances around the person who has paralysis.
There's a box here that has a bunch of relays in it and outlets, and there's a flashing red light that's
that is an alarm, and there's an alarm sound that happens, and there's also a way to adapt it to call the nurse,
to hit the nurse call button, but it can control the TV and a fan and lights and
bed control.
And you activated it by blowing
or sucking into a straw that activated a pressure sensitive switch that
sequenced through these functions up here. So you would suck a little bit and it would go to the next function,
and when you got to the function you wanted, you would blow into it. And it used this electromechanical device called a stepping relay. How many people know about stepping relays?
Okay. So a very early one. This one uses an X10 control. This is a power line control system. And here the user can operate it by this forearm switch. You just put it into a slot. And then there's an X10 unit that transmits signals over the AC wiring that turn on lights and things like that. A lot of these things are still on the market. This is
a device called Butler in the Box, and this is one of the early examples of a voice-controlled environmental control system. And it actually worked pretty well. That you would say, lights on or something like that, and it would recognize, those commands and turn on the light.
Eye gaze control. This is a camera that's in front of the eye that can detect where you're looking. There's another design that has a light coming out here, and probably there's a camera, something looking at your eye, the whites of your eye, and you would gaze at this keyboard and be able to pick up where you were looking. The problem is that you had to be very still. You have to have your head in the same position because any movement would throw the thing off, so it wasn't very good. There's been a bunch of switches over the years. You've seen forearm switches, these big switches, and a bunch of other switches that can be mounted in different places. So you would activate them, and it would turn on a function, a light or something. So these are used a lot for people who
don't have use of their hands.
This is an automatic communication system for
people who don't have
voice. They would move this magnetic element around and pause it over a letter, and it would display it over here and print it out, and
some of these actually had a speech synthesizer in it to speak it.
This is a very early model. How many people remember the Speak and Spell made by TI? So this is another kind of design with buttons or membrane switches that you can type a word into and it speak it out.
Oh, this is another whole class of things. When I first showed this a couple of years ago, this was sort of funny. But actually, there's a company that makes these devices, and
I think this one might be This one might be a gas one, but I felt
if you were at the Abilities Expo, you saw there was a vendor that was selling these things.
So these are on the market now. Maybe not quite as tall. This one is not on the market. This is for gas. What a nice gasoline engine. And then if you're into steampunk, there's this very nice wheelchair, and there's a video that goes along with it that you should check this out. It's really interesting. So they made it sound like a train, and there was smoke coming out of here and stuff like that. And it had in the back there's some liquid and with air bubbles, you know, bubbling through it, so it looks, you know, sort of spacey. And it made noises as it went. So obviously not very functional, but pretty artistic. So this is a gas-operated, track wheelchair that these guys, Holland Howe, did. And then there's the Orange County Chopper did this bike with access to the motorcycle from the back. And there's been a number of designs for, access for people in wheelchairs to motorcycles that go way back, and this is one of the nicer ones. So I hope you appreciate that. So on Thursday, we're going to have the midterm presentations, and you'll see all these people doing their best to impress you with what they've been doing. So after our break, we'll have a talk by Rita and Phil talking about memories. But now we'll take a short break while we set up. Good time for you to sign in. If you haven't done so, pick up an evaluation form and a cookie. Be back in 3 minutes. How was that?
Great stuff there.
Yeah.
By the way, have you ever done Stephen Hawkins? Ever shown him in his wheelchair?
I've had a picture of him.
As you said, right? 10 minutes, and then...
Yeah, well, whatever. You got...
How much time to be the total?
Well, we have to be finished by 5:30, so leave
okay,
time
so
for
you,
questions
you need,
at the end of time.
You need how much? Half an hour, 45 minutes?
25 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Oh, dear, I don't have a... Oh, goodness. I didn't realize I was not very many. I just put it here. That was awkward. It's okay. Okay.
The lights a little bit. We don't have the option, I guess, right? Yeah. They can see the... No, no, that's okay. What is this thing called? It's called a receiver? No idea.
They call them lavalier. That's a Radio Shack version.
Lavalier?
It's your mic.
The mic.
The mic.
Is this on?
It's on.
It's on. Okay. I'm going to take my Android badge off. Yeah, there's just one Indian in the whole...